As you've probably heard by now, we've teamed up with BetMGM this season. We'll be using BetMGM lines to make all of our picks, and we'll have special offers for our listeners each week. If you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC, and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager with BetMGM. Here's how it works. Download the BetMGM app and sign up using bonus code THEATHLETIC. Make your first deposit of at least $10, place your first bet on any game, and claim your voucher for a one-year subscription to The Athletic. See BetMGM.com for terms. U.S. promotional offers not available in D.C., Mississippi, New York, Nevada, Ontario, or Puerto Rico. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Available in the U.S. Call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY-467-369 in New York. Call 1-800-NEXT-STEP in Arizona. 1-800-327-5050 in Massachusetts. 1-800-BETS-OFF in Iowa. 1-800-270-7117 for confidential help in Michigan. 1-800-981-0023 in Puerto Rico. First bet offer for new customers only in partnership with Kansas Crossing Casino and Hotel. Don't forget, if you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager.
Man, this is our city. This is our city, man. We did it, man. It's unbelievable.
Time to say reckless shit.
We've seen the story before. Big news! The Athletic NBA Show will now bring you even more content through the Athletic Audio Plus. Subscribe now for a free 30-day trial via Apple Podcasts to listen to bonus specials, exclusive interviews, Q&As, and more. And after your trial, it's only $1 a month for access to all Athletic Audio plus bonus content across our entire network of shows. Check out the Athletic NBA Show's latest bonus episode now, only on Apple Podcasts.
Welcome to the Athletic NBA Show, Monday through on the Athletic Podcast Network.
I do have a take.
Point of contention.
What are y'all talking about? Y'all hating. Stop hating. Everybody hating.
I also like to apologize for burning down our house when I was 7 years old. I don't remember ever apologizing for that, but I guess God knew I had to repay you somehow. So I'm grateful to have made it to the league and got you a new one. So thank you, Mom. That's a true story. I was playing with matches. Next thing you know, I'm out in front and the house is coming down.
Here we go. Welcome to Point of Contention, 5 subjects, 5 minutes, 5 points of contention. I'm Zach Harper. Jade Hoy is producing. Coming up on the show, the never-ending story in Philly, death taxes and in-season tournament ideas, less instant replay, and NBA title and MVP odds. So it's time to get those wallets out. In this corner, from the hard streets of Springfield, Massachusetts,
Longmeadow,
same thing, Celtics beat reporter and future author of the book I Burned the House Down, The Real Truth About Paul Pierce, it's Jay the Kid King. Jay, what was your favorite non-Paul Pierce, non-Bill Russell moment from the Hall of Fame ceremony? You weren't prepared for that, were you? You didn't even
Did I watch the Hall of Fame ceremony? No.
Oh, wow. You just don't care about basketball. Wow. I was wrapped in the whole time.
I was on vacation. In my defense, I was on vacation.
I was on the radio throwing to speeches. So that was the only reason I watched it. But hey, I watched the whole thing.
On the spot. Yeah, there were a lot of great moments.
Fantastic answer. There you go. Can't pick. There it is. And in this corner, co-star of the hit podcast, No Dunks, formerly known as The Starters, formerly known as The Basketball Jones, from the frosty streets of Toronto, Canada, the real Greek Freak, it's Tass Mellis. Tass, what was your favorite moment of the Hall of Fame induction ceremony?
In the words of Jay King, for me, you mentioned Toronto, it has to do with Chris Bosh, because the internet just kind of sucks lately. And, and part of it is that they insult, NBA Twitter just insults Chris Bosh over and over, because he's not the typical macho athlete, I guess. And Chris Bosh just stepped up onto the mic, and he just killed it.
My family's here, you can ask. Basketball wasn't what I did. It was who I was. Anything with an NBA logo on it, that was like currency to me. You know, Jordans were the dream, which I knew my parents weren't gonna buy. I'd ask for jerseys too, and that wasn't happening either. Till this one day, under the Christmas tree, my preteen prayers were answered. Folded neatly in this little box was a Lakers jersey. Man, and you know, as I'm taking it out, I'm just so excited. I'm like, man, is it magic? Is it Kareem? Is it worthy? I look at both sides, and it just said Lakers. No name, no number, just Lakers. Man. But I still felt like magic when I put it on. I even go outside and play a little
just
bit.
Just eloquent. And
I was so proud.
It was amazing. So, you know, he's cast as this, like, geek, but this dweeb. Dweebs don't talk like that. Geeks don't talk like that. He killed
they
it.
They talk like this. Exactly. They answer questions with, that's how geeks and dweebs talk. Also, I do love the idea of basketball Twitter calling people geeks and dweebs. Right. I do think that, like, we're all hanging out on the internet. What do you think we are? That's what we all, we're all this. That's what we are. All right, Jade, start the clock. When will 2-5 be traded? Can anyone say Groundhog Day? Yes? 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 Dateline, September 2021, and we are still talking about 2-5's future. The guy that passed up a point-blank dunk that could have extended the 76ers' life in last season's playoffs as a really incredible guerrilla marketing opportunity for the No Dunks podcast. Now this guy wants out. He's contracted to make millions of dollars. He's connected to LeBron and Clutch Sports. He's going to get paid so he can wage a war of attrition against Daryl Morey until he gets what he wants. He's got a lot of potential, but he doesn't shoot the ball. But he's a great defender, but he's afraid of the fourth quarter. Yada fucking yada. You know what it is. Jake, play the tape.
I want you to get up right now and go to the window, open it, and stick your head out and yell, I'm as mad as hell, and I'm not going to take this anymore.
This week, the master of innuendo, or what I like to call windy window. That's what I meant to say. Spilled some Blues Clues on where 2-5's future may reside, according to Brian Windhorst on the Scoop podcast. There are 4 or 5 teams still in the hunt to sign the or to trade for the unwanted guard slash forward slash whatever we want to call him. Jade, play that tape as well.
You know, you realize that, you know, a whole wing of the house had to be completely gutted and redone. You're not paying top of the market price. And if the owner wants top of the market price, you know, you're going to say, well, I really like it, but I can't buy that. I've got to buy it. I got to buy it as a fixer upper and fix it up myself. And so that's just where we are. It's actually a very basic situation. And there's a lot of angles to it because he's a high profile player, but it's pretty basic. He's an attractive player that you want. He's a little damaged. And, you know, if you're going to buy him, you're going to pay prices for something that's damaged. And the seller wants premium price. So here we sit.
Polyurethane handles and everything, but you kind of forget that Old Faithful one. You got
Windhorst told the Sixers Daily Podcast, you look at what Daryl Morey has done his whole career. He's hunted stars, Harden, Howard, Chris Paul, Westbrook. He tried to trade for Harden again. He's hunted stars. That's what he wants, so that's what he's doing. Jay King, where would you like to see 2-5 go, and what would you like to see in return?
I want to see him on the Raptors because I just think he'd be a great fit there. I think
pandering.
Their culture of toughness and defense, it would help him. And they've also been very great at developing players. You've seen so many guys go in there, get drafted late in the draft, go undrafted, Fred VanVleet, and just get better and better at skills. And I think Simmons needs that type of development. He obviously has stagnated offensively since he's been in the NBA, and he needs that. And I just think he could fit in next to OG Anunoby, whoever else. And I think Siakam would be the main piece going back to Philly. He would help Philly keep that defense intact with the length and athleticism and versatility, and maybe give them, you know, a little more shot making down the stretch.
Is that your dream scenario as well? Ooh. As Ben Simmons? Oh, 2-5 on the Raptors?
Number 25. Hey, I'll call him number 25. I got no problem. Okay. Yeah, when in Rome, let's
do
this.
Did I call him by name? I think I did.
You lose, man.
I'm sorry.
I like the fact that we're real typecasting the Raptors here. Like, no one will score on that team. I mean, there's going to be they're going to have an identity, the team that doesn't score, that's for sure. With that, in the regular season, puts up points. So, oh, damn it, I did it too. Number 25 puts up points, but I am not super excited about that. I still do believe in Pascal Siakam. When you said that, Jay, I'm a little taken aback by that. Obviously, it's a fair
Pelican attack.
It's kind of fair, but Pascal's, yeah, his stock has dropped a lot. I think number 25 goes to the Washington Wizards.
Ooh,
I think Beal will be the one going back, and I understand Beal is a real, real extreme talent, but at the same time, I don't know how long Bradley Beal is for Washington. Like, he signed a 1+1, which is that an extension? Not really. It's a 1-year extension. So it's not, I don't think it's that far out of the realm of possibility that you got Ben working with, damn it, I did it again. You got number 25 working with his supporting cast there in Washington. And I will say, after they had a 34-38 record last year, I think the Wizards with number 25 at the helm will have a better record than they did last year. And now that, I just mean they'll be close to 500. I think he can be as good as Russell Westbrook was for them. He can do that. He is a great regular season player. He is really, 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 really good. It changes in the postseason. But yeah, I think in the end, he doesn't report to camp because, like, as you said there, Zach, you know, he's got the clutch backing. You don't mess with this dude. You don't say he can't shoot. He can't be a championship point guard, as Doc Rivers said, without some ramifications. You got to pay for that.
You have to pay for that. Yeah. Absolutely. Jay King, you have to pay for this just awful, awful attempt at pandering to Tass to say, oh, let's get him on the Raptors, and then taking his beloved Pascal Siakam off.
I've said the Raptors
Yeah, you were pandering then, hoping that Tass was listening. That's all you're doing. Just trying to get on No Dunks next week.
Two guys need to switch places. They need new locations. Siakam, the last year and a half, whatever, things have just been weird for him.
He's
in
been
Toronto.
Hurt and in Tampa Bay.
But he's also in Toronto.
Yeah.
He had beef with Nick Nurse. They suspended him. There was just weird stuff going on. And
Simmons,
same thing. It's just been rocky times. They both need new locations. I think they both help their new teams more than their old teams.
He said his last name, Jade. I think we need to start treating this as like a swear jar. Yeah. Tass, what about the idea of him in Portland? 2-5 in Portland, but I'd like to see him as a Draymond Green type with Damian Lillard. Just send the rest of the farm out to Philadelphia in exchange for him.
It makes a lot of sense. I just don't think that that's going to be enough of a package for Daryl Morey. I think he can do better.
CJ McCollum and Anthony Simons and, you know, I don't know, a bunch of picks and what else do they have? Do they have anything else? I don't know if they have anything else.
Sure. So then you got a team of Embiid, CJ McCollum, and parts, which, you know, it seems pretty good in Philadelphia. But I think Morey will hold up for a little bit more. It makes a lot of sense. I totally agree. Dame and number 25 will work beautifully together. And yes, he would definitely be comfortable being off the ball when you got Damian Lillard handling the rock for sure. I could see that working real nice.
All right.
I just don't think they can get like a real all-star bat. Like, I don't see Bradley Beal as an option.
Pascal Siakam is an all-star, Jay.
Yeah, he's an all-star.
I said a real all-star, not like fringe, borderline type guy.
Most improved player, like all-star, champion.
You accuse me of pandering, and I'll go the other way hard.
Kevin Love is an all-star, man.
Yeah.
All right, so Pascal Siakam is definitely an all-star.
Exactly. Speaking of things that are only good in the regular season, take two. It's time for Death, Taxes, and the NBA's in-season tournament idea. On Monday, the NBA's competition committee met to discuss a number of topics during their annual off-season meeting, among them a potential in-season tournament with a prize pool of $1 million. That's billion with an M.
$1 million.
Per player, according to our own Shams Charania of The Athletic, the general concept of an in-season tournament has long been floated around for a few years, but nothing has ever finalized. According to reports, NBA Commissioner Adam Silver was hopeful that the success of the play-in tournament could generate more interest in an in-season competition. But this summer, WNBA debuted an in-season competition called the Commissioner's Cup. That kind of failed as an initiative, even though it, you know, it's just the first year, but I don't know. It might be an indication of what's to come with the regular season in-season tournament for the NBA. Who knows? Tass, yay or nay
on the in-season tournament, and what incentives will it take for players and fans?
Yeah, baby. Yeah, baby. I think you do it. I think us nerds and dweebs, let's throw that term out there, are going to enjoy these extra games. I know people are complaining, what is the real point of having an in-season tournament? But I think the league has already sort of built in the window to some degree by extending the All-Star break to a week. So on either side, you've got several days. And I think they just kind of compacted in with the All-Star game that there's enough like off days where, yeah, we're going to watch Phoenix and Minnesota because that's what we do as basketball fans. I don't think you really need to incentivize them that much. A mil per player is great. And listen, I think as basketball geeks, we care about, you know, down the roster, the 13, 14, 15 guy, Jordan McLaughlin, that guy can really play for the Wolves, you know, that kind of thing. If the Stars take a little bit of a rest, a little bit of a break during this tournament, I think that's okay. I think the guys, you know, to the lower end of the roster who need a mil per player, you know, if it goes to charity, it goes to charity. But if you want to play for $1 million, Jordan McLaughlin, that's a big, big sum of money. I think we're going to enjoy the extra games. We will, as fans, yeah, Phoenix Suns fans, yeah, they're going to get pumped. And they're going to get pumped to see their, you know, their two-way players play. I think it'll be a lock.
Yeah, and what about the idea of, like, we're just keeping the same amount of games, but we're repurposing 4 to 5 games for each team to have in this tournament, right? Like, you don't even have to add games to the schedule. It could just be like, hey, remember that Hornets Magic game that you're going to have to suffer through in late January? Well, Jay, you no longer have to do that. It's a tournament.
But here's the thing to me is that basketball doesn't have a culture where midseason tournaments have ever existed. You have to prove to the fans that it matters, right? Like, soccer midseason tournaments exist. People care about them. Things like that are important. But basketball, like, to me, I'll sit there and watch the basketball tournament all day long on a summer day for 12 hours.
Why?
Because
you missed Jerry McNamara.
Basketball is on TV, why? And I love it.
You missed Diebendorf.
Eric Diebendorf is on TV.
I
yeah.
knew that was coming next.
So I will sit there and watch Aaron Kraft, Eric Diebendorf all day. But that's the end game. Everyone is competing for the end championship. To me, the concept of a midseason tournament is so foreign. And I think maybe by incentivizing the players with $1 million, you can convince the players to care. And if the players care, maybe the fans will care. But I wonder if the fans will actually care about a midseason tournament that doesn't really mean anything except $1 million more to certain players.
$1 million.
Care is a strong word. I think if they just tune in, that's good enough. And I think that'll happen. We sit here, you're talking about the TBT. We sit here like, you know, on a random July day. Let's say like the day after the All-Star game. It's a Monday. People will start tweeting, oh, no basketball tonight. What am I going to watch? I mean, if the Magic and Suns are on, you're going to watch that. And yeah, I get what you're saying, Jay. There might not be passion from a fan base, but they're going to watch. And I think that's all that matters, unless there just has to be some ratings and the league will get paid for it.
$1 million.
And there'll be a trophy or whatever, and there'll be $1 million handed out. And yeah, it's foreign, but you got to start somewhere.
While you're talking about this, I've sold myself 100% on it because I'm just envisioning like a Nets Warriors in a finals of a midseason tournament. That's going to matter. KD versus the Warriors, something like that would matter. KD versus LeBron, KD versus whoever.
Well,
honestly,
play.
KD has a lot of enemies.
It could be Magic Kings in the final of that tournament. And if they're all playing for $1 million a player, that means they're all going all out. We like that kind of stuff with stakes on the line. Like, I think that's the key, is if the players care, eventually people will care. It's just getting players to care.
Yeah, and you made a good point, Zach, about maybe a fewer, less games on the schedule. I know that everybody will say, well, that's how the league gets paid. You got to have 82 games in the schedule. But we just had a season with 72 games. So coming off that, you know, it's kind of built in there as well. Can you just drop it to 78? I think there's room if they're guaranteed some money from advertisers, then that's the trade-off.
It's just about getting money in.
Yep.
$1 million.
And watching as much as you can, unlike...
This episode is brought to you by Michelob Ultra, the official beer sponsor of the NBA. Want to get closer to the game than ever before? Michelob Ultra Courtside is giving fans the chance to win exclusive NBA prizes and experiences like official gear, courtside seats to an NBA game, and more. Head over to MichelobUltra.com/courtside to learn more.
Looking for an assist with your credit card but can't get a hold of anyone? Luckily, with 24/7 U.S.-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yep, you heard that right. You can talk to a real human in customer service anytime. Sounds like a real game changer if you ask us. Make the right call and get the service that you deserve with Discover. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/credit card.
With take three, there's less video replay. Thank God. I'm so fucking sick of Ed Molloy looking at a TV screen. More potential changes on the horizon. And fellas, I like this one. According to Shams Charania, sources say the NBA Board of Governors will vote this month to approve the coach's challenge being the lone method to review out-of-bounds calls with under 2 minutes left in games, meaning out-of-bounds plays will no longer be automatically triggered for officials. Under the current rules, any close out-of-bounds decision in the final 2 minutes of a game can be reviewed by the referees if they aren't for sure what the call should be, which usually leads to about, I don't know, 7-8 minutes of just announcers babbling and going over a super slow-mo, just the super troopers enhance, let's zoom in, enhance, let's zoom in, enhance, let's zoom in, and trying to figure out if Kelly Oubre's finger touched it or if Kevin Love's finger touched it. Jade, play my rant from Jeff Van Gundy.
How about we can just watch basketball?
I like that idea. It shouldn't take this long.
I would rather them miss a hostile act and us have flow to the game than them to be the hostile police.
You become hostile when they call hostile.
No, I'm just saying. Do we not in the league want any flow to our games? Is this really what we want in conference finals games?
The bubbles got to him.
No.
I got bubbleitis right now.
The ironic thing is we both agree.
All right, Jay King, how would you vote on this potential rule change? Do you like taking down the opportunities for replay review in the final 2 minutes if it means we might screw some games up?
I would like to get rid of all video replays.
Whoa!
I think video replays on a whole just waste time. I think there are refs for a reason. They're in charge. Give them the whistle. Give them control. I hate sitting there for 5-10 minutes at a time watching review. The other part of it, why does it take so long to review out-of-bounds calls? Why can't we just have someone elsewhere just deciding, oh, well, that wasn't their ball, it's somebody else's ball? It should take 2 seconds. Just watch it in slow motion one time, and that should be enough. If it's overturnable, it's overturnable. Anything to limit video replay, I'm a huge fan of.
Yeah, Taz, isn't that the whole point of like Great Depression magician Monty McCutcheon sitting in Secaucus, New Jersey, reviewing all this stuff anyway, like to where you can just speed up this process? Why does it take so long?
Yeah, no answer. But, I'm on the other side.
Whoa.
I say extend it.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
Make these games longer. Longer.
I like that idea.
That means less time with my loved ones.
It shouldn't take this long.
I would rather them miss a hostile act and us have flow to the game than them to be the hostile police.
You become hostile when they call hostile.
No, I'm just saying.
Last time with my loved ones. Last time about the things I care about and have to. Last time about the things I care about and have to deal with. No, I'm. There's absolutely no reason why these things take so long. It came to a point in the playoffs where you just expected a video review after every play, right? It was nuts because we just had to see who it went off of to get it right. And the pendulum has swung way too far in the other direction. I was at a baseball game actually the other day, and I was in the outfield, 5 of my buds, and two guys
started talking about basketball at the end of the game. They just can't stop talking about sports at any moment. So they start talking about basketball and how it takes too long at the end of games. And they're watching a baseball game. They're at a baseball game where there's a clock to determine how fast a pitcher should pitch the next pitch. There's a clock to determine how long we should be sitting there waiting for the dead time. There's a clock for the dead time. Yeah, I understand the other direction. That, like, you just can't have it last that long. And it takes way too. Like you said, Zach, there's going to be some more wrong calls, but who cares? I mean, there's such hard calls that I think we sympathize with refs to a point too. Like, okay, so a ball tipped off this guy's fingernail instead of this guy's fingernail. Like, no one can make that call. No human can make that call. So I think it's fine. And we were just doing this a couple of years ago. Like, it hadn't been this bad, if I'm not mistaken, right? A couple years ago.
Right. Well,
that one Phoenix game took, oh my
seven
God,
hours.
That was
in the fourth quarter.
Yeah,
that was terrible. Do you think that this has been about getting stuff right, Jay? Or do you think this is about we've got to be so transparent, we've got to make sure that we're not Tim Donaghy again?
I think it's a combination of both. I think that there is a sense like, okay, if we can get more of these calls right, that's cool. But let's be honest, if they were going to do that, they'd have more than what did coaches just get? One challenge per game, two challenges,
yeah,
whatever it is. It's a very small number, so they're not totally interested in getting all the calls right, or even most of the calls right. Coaches don't even get their challenge back if they win it, which I think is a mistake. I think if you win a challenge, you should keep it, because if you're forced to challenge this an awful call, you shouldn't get punished for that. You should be able to keep it and move it along. And coaches who win challenges should just be able to challenge forever. Well, that would be my one extra video replay rule.
What about this idea, Tass? What if we did this, where if you win a challenge, you get to keep it one more time. If you win the second challenge, you get to take the other coach's challenge.
Ooh.
Yeah.
That is good stuff. I like that. That's yeah. good. Yeah, it's better than Jay's idea for sure. That you just keep it. I mean, our coach is just going to start challenging from the first whistle, like, challenge. So just keep it rolling.
Well, then if you lose it, it's gone.
Mm.
But you got to win it.
Yeah, but if you win it, you might take Luke Walton's challenge away from him. Now what's he going to do?
But that's the other wrinkle of this new rule, is that coaches need to hang on to their challenge, because now they're going to have a challenge left in the final moments just in case an out-of-bounds call is wonky.
And what if it happens twice? You only get to challenge the one?
That's what I'm saying. You need to be rewarded for that successful challenge.
How you doing, Vince?
I'll be doing a lot better. You stop using
my... All right. Time for take four. In the words of the female clerk at the bookie, the illegal bookie in Snatch. Don't worry, I'm going somewhere with this. All bets are on. That's right, fellas. That was a long walk for almost no payoff. Get those wallets out. It's time to put your money where your mouths are. Except don't actually do that. Money is disgusting. Taking a look at BetMGM's title odds as of right now. We have clear favorites, and boy, this be an exciting finals if this is what we got. Kevin Durant's Brooklyn Nets are at the top at +240 to win it all, followed by LeBron's geriatric Lakers at +400, and then this has got to be a typo. The Warriors are back. They are the same odds, +900. As the defending champion Milwaukee Bucks, Suns at +1,500, followed by the Clippers, Sixers, and Jazz at +1,600. Tass, here's $500 of cold, hard Jade Hoy cash. Where is your money going for the NBA Finals winner?
Ooh, I'm going to put it on the Atlanta Hawks.
I
like a bit of a value bet.
That's one heck of a value bet. Just lose 500 instantly.
They made the conference finals. I understand. I understand. We talked about number 25. Number 25 not dunking was a part of their conference finals run. That being said, they've got the 12 best odds in the league. That's venturing into middle of the pack status. Well, it's a team that should only get better. I live in Atlanta. I was... You know, very skeptical of this team last year when they let go of Lloyd Pierce. I just didn't buy it. But that being said, some teams just turn the corner,
And if you have one of the best players in Trae Young, he is not going to get any worse. You have that leadership. You have guys rallying around him like John Collins, who stops going after numbers and just does the things you have to do to win. I think this team is just plain old stacked. They got a team that should win now. Now, okay, they are not a favorite, but 12th best odds, I think that's decent. That's decent cash. I'd be putting Jade Hoy's money on that.
Yeah, put Jade Hoy's money on that for sure. Jay, the Utah Jazz are plus 1,600. They had the number one record in the NBA. If you ask Donovan Mitchell, you know, they would have won it all if he was healthy this whole time during the playoffs and leading up to the playoffs.
That was the single most outrageous comment of the NBA offseason. What? For Donovan Mitchell to say, if we were healthy, we would have reached the finals. We would have won the finals. They lost to a Clippers team that did not have Kawhi Leonard in the final two games. They got obliterated by Terrence Mann in an elimination game at home because they had defensive breakdowns time after time after time and were letting guys shoot wide open threes. And they were basically fully healthy. They had everyone. Donovan Mitchell tweaked his ankle, sure, but he was scoring 30 points a game.
Mike Conley had a hamstring issue.
The Nets lost everyone. Every other team dealt with major Giannis injuries except the Jazz. And Donovan was like, yeah, if we were healthy, we what? Donovan Mitchell, you are crazy for that one. And your team will never win a title.
Whoa!
I would put my money on the Nets. It's the boring, boring take, but they are head and shoulders above everybody. If they had stayed even moderately healthy, if two of their three guys stayed healthy last year, they would have won a title. Give them two of those guys. If KD and James Harden stay healthy, even it's a wrap.
How is Tass so much better at this than we are when he's just guesting on this? Because he's giving like value plays. He's following the 2-5 model. He's doing like,
but he just lost 500, and I just won close to 15.
Oh, yeah.
Not if they keep getting hurt. No, you know,
I'm giving it away. No doubt. I mean, no doubt, I'm giving it away.
But if you win, you're buying your own team.
I've learned this bull crap over the years. When you're on a sports show, you just say the stuff that gets the clicks. You know, who cares about the stuff that's right? Nobody cares.
Just that classic clickbait, no dunks podcast.
I did some serious research, and you guys did a nice little integration there with BetMGM. Congrats to you guys. At the top of that website, it says, or at the top of all the odds for the NBA Finals winners, it says tournament winner. Quote, tournament winner. What the hell is that?
This isn't
UEFA.
I guess it's kind of a tournament, sort of, right?
I'll tell you who it won't be. It won't be the Hawks.
Does BetMGM still have Jamie Foxx like just holding like a football or something, saying like, come bet with us on the thing? I love that. That's inviting. Mm-hmm. Jamie Foxx will get me to bet for sure. I'm not a gambling man, but Jamie Foxx will get me to bet.
That man is likable.
Yeah. Horrible Bosses 2, Collateral, The Jamie Foxx Show. Jay, have you heard of any of those? Probably not. Speaking of BetMGM.
Oh, yeah. I've heard of Horrible Bosses. I saw Jamie Foxx filming a movie one time, and we were walking through Atlanta, and Jamie Foxx, I never knew this before, but when you're driving in a movie, you're not actually driving. Someone is driving and pulling the car along with you.
They can't possibly.
And Jamie Foxx was just pretending to drive, and it was a great moment for me.
That was a great moment for you, is seeing Jamie Foxx.
Horrible story, but great moment for me.
Story.
I sat next
to Jamie Foxx at the Drew League once. I thought that was going to be a boring story, but.
Congrats,
bro. I mean, it's not a big deal. You know, you got connections, and by connections, I mean Trevon Edwards. That's what I got. I'm going to put my money on.
And now, two pigeons bemoaning the fact you can stream DirecTV satellite free.
You see this? A family watching baseball on DirecTV with no satellite dish in sight.
Let's heckle them. You call that changing the channel?
Choke up on the remote, buddy.
I hope getting all these games on DirecTV makes up for your mother not pre-chewing your sunflower seeds.
DirecTV has the most MLB games. Call 1-800-DIRECTV. Claim based on total games carried on sports networks. Sports availability varies by zip code and requires choice package. Terms and restrictions apply.
Don't just ride the index, seek to outperform it with Fidelity Active ETFs. Learn more at fidelity.com/active ETFs. Before investing in any exchange-traded fund, you should consider its investment objectives, risks, charges, and expenses. Contact Fidelity for a prospectus, an offering circular, or if available, a summary prospectus containing this information. Read it carefully. While active ETFs offer the potential to outperform an index, these products may more significantly trail an index as compared with passive ETFs. Fidelity Brokerage Services, LLC, member NYSE, SIPC.
You know what? Tass and I are going to buy this Hawks team together. I'm putting my money on the Hawks. Yeah.
Yeah.
Now that's $1,000 of Jade Hoy's cash on the Hawks. We're going to be rich.
I'm rich, bitch!
What have you got?
Nothing really. A few coins, but no notes.
Show me around.
Just like we'll be rich when we nail the MVP winner, which is time for Take Five.
They're probably going to take Clint Capella.
If you thought we were done integrating BetMGM into this show, how about 40% of the takes BetMGM with the MVP odds? Let's stay right here. While we're spending some money, let's take a look at those odds leading the pack. Everyone's still going to call him their dark horse, but no longer a dark horse favorite. Luka Doncic at plus 400 leads the way. Joel Embiid and Kevin Durant at plus 700. Giannis at plus 800. Curry plus 900, Lillard plus 1100, LeBron plus 1400, and defending MVP, Nikola Jokic plus 1600 to repeat. Jay, place your bet and let me know who you're taking.
Stephen Curry. People, if he had won enough games last year, he would have won the MVP. It would have been pretty easy, I think. They didn't win enough games. Now they have Klay Thompson back. He is going to go nuclear just like he did last season, except now he's going to do it on a team that will be in the top three or four in the Western Conference.
Ooh.
I think people want to vote for Steph because he's so much fun to watch, and he's, what, like fifth in odds?
Yeah.
So I think Steph's the way to go.
Tass?
You know, that's a good pick. I don't dislike that pick. That being said, the thing that I think is a knock against Steph is that his MVP numbers will always be compared to the two that he put up, and it's just going to be tough to repeat that.
But last year, he was even better.
Some say.
Yeah. Numbers-wise, are very close to it.
Get in the playoffs.
It wasn't quite what he was in those 2 years. Like, his percentages weren't there because he had to do a lot more. Maybe his numbers get better this year. That's not crazy talk. I do like that pick because I did like it last year. I just think that even, you know, looking at him year to year to year and looking at the way the voters pick, they want a fresh story. They do. And I think although Nikola Jokic isn't a fresh story because he won it last year, I think the fact that the Lakers, Warriors, Suns, Clippers, and Jazz, it's kind of nutty. All those teams have better odds than the Nuggets do this season. I think he'll be a bit of a surprise. So it's always, to me, a bit of the surprise pick. That's why Steph, I think, was decent last year because no one expected them to be great. But I think the fact that Jokic lost Murray in last year's playoffs, he went into the offseason and he worked his ass off. I've seen him running upstairs in offseason videos. That means he is in shape and he's ready to go.
Red Rocks. Yeah.
He does look in good shape. That dude is very slim.
He's
slim for him. He's not slim though. Like, he's still.
Oh, no, that's a
no,
slim
I saw
man,
the video
man.
Of him running stairs. He's still flabby. It's just less flabby than he was. Facundo Campazzo is housing him in these races. I mean, Facundo is so much faster. And
Jokic,
he's not. He's slow as hell. And Jokic has long legs. He should be getting up four steps at a time.
That's a good point. But he won the MVP last year. He fooled us when he wasn't in shape winning the MVP. What is he going to do when he's kind of in shape? He's going to be even better. I think it'll just be a surprise. I think he'll be – they're going to have a good season. I think that little trial run of not having Murray with him is good. He's learned how hard it is to carry a team. He's going to surprise people. People just aren't giving him, you know, any probability of doing much this season. Like I said, it is kind of crazy. Lakers, Warriors, Suns, Clippers, Jazz have, like, way better odds or better odds than the Nuggets do. So I like a surprise pick.
How about this? How about a redemption story, guys? I'm throwing my money at Giannis Antetokounmpo. Because all we heard last year, I heard it from many voters, and by many, I mean like three throughout the season were saying they couldn't vote for Giannis again because of what had happened in the playoffs the last 2 years, which I find to be an insane way of voting for a regular season award. But that was the that was kind of the tone of everything. And now redemption, 50 point closeout game to clinch the title, 17 of 19 from the free throw line. This guy is on top of the world. He's not going to come back flabby. He's coming back as ripped as ever. He's been, you know, hanging out with soccer people overseas. He's been hanging out with his brothers, working out. He's been watching his brother play basketball. MVP. Yeah, because his footwork, Jay, it's all about the footwork. Those giant Greek feet. You call him the Greek freak. I call him the Greek feet. Those feet are all over the floor, and he's going to be dunking on everybody. He realizes he's a big man now. He's going to be modern day Shaq and then some. Plus 800. I love the Greek freak as a third time.
The whole organization MVP. For everything we did all year. We put extremely unbelievable work. We believed in ourselves. We went out there to compete. And right now, you know, I'm extremely happy. I'm still can't believe this is happening. But, you know, I'm trying to be in the moment, trying to enjoy as much as possible with you guys, with my teammates and everybody. Man, this is our city. This is our city, man. We did it, man. It's unbelievable.
Giannis Antetokounmpo.
That's a, honestly, that's a good pick. I like to disagree with Zach, but
I don't like Jay agreeing with me. Tass, do you like that pick?
Mm-hmm. I sure do.
Okay, now I feel good about
it. I also have a Greek foot fetish, so yes, I like that. I like that pick very much.
Well, I don't know how to end a podcast any better than Tass saying he's got a Greek foot fetish. So that's going to do it for this week's Point of Contention. Don't forget to subscribe to all the shows on the Athletic Podcast Network, especially No Dunks, which is it's the greatest podcast of all time. You guys are the best at it. This is the second best, but you guys are the best at this. Warriors Plus Minus, Anything is Potable, Down to Dunks, so many more. For Jay King, for Tass Millis, for Jade Hoy, I'm Zach Harper. Keep it locked in on The Athletic and subscribe for crying out loud.
Looking for the best place to buy tickets for any of your favorite teams or sporting events? We've got the spot. Our partner, StubHub, has been the leading ticket marketplace in the world for over 20 years, providing a 100% guarantee with every order. From a worldwide selection of live events, the widest choice of tickets, and industry-leading partnerships, StubHub has what you need to purchase with confidence. StubHub, an official partner of The Athletic.